There are always things that happen when the senior pastor isn't here, and one of them is a mistake in the bulletin. I'm not preaching in Luke, I'm preaching on Psalm 100. Many of the Psalms in God's Word would call you to worship Him with thanksgiving. But today, as we look at Psalm 100, it's the only one that has a title, a psalm for giving thanks. I really need that description. I really need this psalm because I'm an ingrate. Might not know what that is. I've heard about it. I had to look it up, but I knew I was it. I'm often filled with ingratitude. I'm not happy. I want more. I want something else. Find myself dissatisfied. And in fact, because of that, I can find myself overwhelmed. I have a natural predisposition to depression. That is naturally. I'm an Eeyore. You know Eeyore from Winnie the Pooh. He's known for saying things like this: "It's the end of the road. Nothing to do and no hope of things getting better." I'm the kind of person who naturally, the glass is half empty. Not only is it half empty, but the bottom is broken out of it. And soon nothing will be in it at all. And at times, over the years, I've even thought of committing suicide. Until I came to know the Lord. And He gave me a new heart. And He gave me hope. And if it wasn't for that, I may be like my brother who indeed did commit suicide. Now, I hope none of you have to deal with those kind of thoughts or to have those kinds of doubts at times. But they're common this side of heaven. Broken people in a broken world who sin and who are sinned against. Therefore, I rejoice in the Holy Spirit's work in my life to give me both the gift of faith and, along with a new and often thankful heart. Now, even though the Lord drew me to Himself 51 years ago and I have been an ordained minister of the gospel for 37 years, I still find that I have to choose to live by the truth of God's unchanging word that I find in this psalm today, that you'll hear in this psalm today, instead of my own feelings or looking at situations in life in a turbulent world that we have. Therefore, as God calls you to worship Him this morning, and He calls you to worship Him with thanksgiving, He calls you to defy your own and our culture's own sinful, our own culture's siren call to follow your heart. Or, if you're a man, follow your gut. Because as the Scripture says in Jeremiah 17, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can understand it? So I implore you, as God's people, as you hear His word for you this morning, to carefully listen to His encouragement to ascend the pulpit of your heart and regularly preach to yourself what you will read and hear in this psalm today. I want all of you to be preachers, men and women, boys and girls, not up here, but in here. Because you will feel or think a certain way that is not helpful. And so you need to ascend to the pulpit in your own heart and preach to yourself the truths of God's Word instead of what you might be thinking or feeling. John Piper calls preaching to yourself thinking biblical thoughts about God that will lead to biblical emotions of God, which will then lead you to biblical actions for God. For as Moses said to Israel about what you will hear today, the word of God, as they were struggling so often in the wilderness with their own difficult situations and their own feelings and even rebelling against God, he reminded them of truth about God's Word, the Scriptures. It is no empty word for you, but your very life. Beloved, if it wasn't for this very life, I might not have life. And I commend it to you, the truths that you will hear today. They should be something that you nail in your own heart for those times when you're wondering and struggling. And if you nail these and go back to them and say, "Oh God, I feel this way, but you have said." And the difficulty is to look to God. That's what we're called here to do today. We do it certainly on Sunday mornings, but often during the week and in the midst of difficulties, we look at the problem, we look at the situation, we look to inside to our own feelings, rather than to look to the glorious, victorious, ascended, risen Lord Jesus Christ, and how he has fulfilled all of his promises for you and for me who are in him by faith. And so, beloved, let us stand and read God's glorious word today that calls you and I to give him thanks. Psalm 100. Let me pray first. Our Father and God, this could be, as it easily is at times, just another hour spent. Yes, spent coming to church. Yes, spent attempting to worship. But it's so hard to get our minds and hearts off ourselves and unto you, to look up instead of inward. If you would choose to bless us this day, we would rejoice. But we need to come here to bless you with our thanksgiving for who you are and what you've done. Would you be gracious to work in us this day in a wondrous way, that we would go from here rejoicing that we are your children and thankful for it because of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Psalm 100. A psalm for giving thanks. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generation. Thus the word of God.
Amen.
Please be seated. There are two points here, two truths that God highlights. There's a lot of truth in it, but I'm going to highlight two of those truths and hope that by his mercy and grace that you and I would be able to take them home with us and remember them during the week and in the coming months and years, that this Psalm 100 would be a place that we would go back to when we are struggling. In the first, Psalm 100 and verses 1 to 3, it calls you and I, as we're called to worship, to give thanks to the Lord, for he is God. In spite of your feelings, God calls you today to make a joyful noise to the Lord, to serve the Lord with gladness, and to come into his presence with singing. Christianity is one of the few religions of the world that sings, that breaks forth in song, because we have so much to think about, so much to rejoice in. What we rejoice in is who our God is, that we're not God. If you or I were in God, we'd be in trouble. If you offend me once, I'm ticked off. You offend me twice, I start being cold to you. You offend me three times, and if I were God, it would be the end. There you are, and be thankful that you or I are not God, and that His mercy endures forever. So the first thing we thank God and we come in praise to Him for is because of who He is and what He's done, and you're not God. As James Montgomery Boyce said, the self-made man or person in our culture is the one who worships his own creator. Did you get that? Our culture talks about being the self-made person who does it. The self-made man or person in our culture is the one who worships his own creator. And we can often do that because we're worshiping ourselves and our own needs and wants and happiness. And if God isn't our bellboy, we ring the bell with a prayer. Okay, God, bam, 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 bing, 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 bing. I want something. And if He doesn't deliver, then we get depressed. Instead, this psalm calls us to worship God because He is God. And to focus on Him instead of your needs and your emotions, how you are doing, what you are afraid of, and where you're going in your life. You see what the Scripture says? It says, know that He is God. And the know means knowledge. God is revealing Himself to you in the Word that He is God. We worship Him because of that. And we can trust Him. He never changes. His love towards those who are in Christ and have been redeemed is everlasting. You never have to worry about Him changing His feelings towards you. He may discipline you as your loving Father, but He will always love you. But mercifully, God just doesn't say, give thanks to me. Be full of praise today. Sing hallelujah. But now look what it says in the psalm. He gives us reasons that we're to do that. He's a reasonable God and He speaks to us. And we're reminded of the reasons that we have to give Him thanks. First of all, that He is a personal God. Notice it says, you make a joyful noise unto the Lord. And you see that Lord in most Bibles is capitalized. What that means is it's the name that He gave to Moses, His personal name, His covenant name. Jehovah, Yahweh. It's that name that God says, I want to know and love you personally. So first of all, we rejoice because He is a personal God. He loves us in that way. Second of all, He says, worship the Lord and because He's God, and bring Him thanks, because your Lord is God. We have a tendency to have other gods that we worship. It's called idols of the heart. Now, I doubt that any of you have any calves, golden calves, in your living room or hidden away even in your closet or bedroom. We say, oh, idol worship. Breakpoint from Chuck Colson Ministries is having a course now that you can take online, but it talks about four of the S gods, idols that we tend to worship and trust and want in this life. There are many. There are innumerable things that you and I worship and put in the place of God because we want them or want to be like them. But Breakpoint has named them in this way. It says, in our age, four gods compete for the attention we should be giving to the true God. Sex, or relationships, or wanting to be loved, the state, the government. If only we get the government right, if only we get the right leader, whether you're Democratic, Republican, or independent, get the right people voted in and everything will be just fine. Or science. There's a problem. Science says you just need more knowledge and you can solve any problem. We have got so many knowledge, we can't even keep it track of it anymore. It changes so greatly. And things aren't getting better. Or stuff. Right? How many of you can't get your cars in your garage because of your stuff? How many of you, maybe you don't have a garage, you live in an apartment, you had to get an extra place somewhere to hold your stuff? Or you built a building outside of your house to hold your stuff? Right? We're great as long as we got a place for our stuff. Right? Those four S's are just some of those things that we can tend to worship instead of the God who is God. And we think that they will make us happy, but it's the one we need to worship, God Himself, and rejoice and give thanks that He is God and in control. And as He tells us in Isaiah 45:7, that you can be rejoicing and thanksgiving because whether something happens good or bad, it's not by chance or circumstance or even your own foolishness. But in Isaiah 45:7, it says of God, I form light and I create darkness. I make well-being and I create calamity. I'm the Lord who does all these things. So that when you know and rest in Him, even the difficulties of life, you can see is coming from His hand, in which we'll see later, is ministrated, if you're in Christ, through Christ. And so you know they come through the one who has given His life for you. So you can thank God that He's God. And then it says, we are His people. You are His people. Now, we would love if all the people of the world loved one another. If it was all, red and yellow, black and white, we are precious. We'd sing that, but we don't believe it. I want to believe it. I grow to believe it. But the truth is, until I know someone, I often am skeptical because they're all made in God's image. I have to say that to me. But I don't feel that way. Before I served in South Texas as a pastor, all I knew about Latins was from West Side Story. Right? Gang members. Or I heard stories about wetbacks and lazy people. I heard that. I never knew any. And so always in the back of my mind was kind of that. But when I went and lived there and loved the congregation and loved the people in the community and got to know them, it prepared me for my son-in-law, Chris Cardenas. All right? That's true. Yes. But I'm not naturally there. But in Christ, we are His people. If you are in Christ, I know something about you today, no matter what you look like, smell like, or anything else. You're His people. You need Him the way I do. And what a joy to be the people of God. In Ephesians 1:4-5, it says about those of you in Christ that He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before Him. In love, He predestined us for adoption to Himself as sons through Jesus Christ according to the purpose of His will. Beloved, you have a family here. You are His people. You have brothers and sisters and mothers and fathers and aunts and uncles. And believe me, we rejoice in that in our family because our family is very small. Although our family's small, we know something what the Scripture says in here. If you've been adopted into God's family, it's a wondrous thing and something to be thankful for. We just got back from 2 days at Dutch Wonderland, Lancaster, PA. Now, some of you know what that is. It's a mini amusement park for younger kids. We took our 3-year-old adopted granddaughter, my daughter and son-in-law, my wife and I, and we spent a day there. And it was just fun. And she couldn't be loved anymore. I'm the one who holds back in our family, but we would do anything, She had her face painted. She got to ride the horsey. And that was all extra charges, It wasn't just You know, we went on the rides, we did it all, and there was four people doing everything they could to bless this little girl, Abigail. Do you doubt that your Heavenly Father who's adopted you loves you that much? Oh, no, no, no. Doesn't He love you so much more? He didn't give you a pony ride. He didn't just paint your face. But He gave His only beloved perfect Son, even our Lord Jesus Christ, that you might come into His family. And He not just brings you into His family, but look at what the Scripture says in verses 1 to 3. Do you see what it says? This Lord, this God, is your shepherd. He leads you. Remember Psalm 23, all of you, and most of you at least know it. He not only leads you besides the still waters and gives you the green grass you need for all your nutrients in this life, but He's also with you through those difficult times in the valley of the shadow of death and in the presence of your enemies, and you'll be with Him forever. Oh, beloved, when you are having struggles with your own feelings or situations, come back to Psalm 100 and remember, give Him praise, sing to Him, because He is God. But He comes with one more major point that we want to look at this morning, and you'll see it in verses 4 and 5 of Psalm 100. Give thanks to your Lord, for He is good. Do you believe that? Sometimes you don't, right? There's sometimes we live in despair because we're not looking up. We're looking inward or outward. We're not living by faith. We're living by sight. But because He's good, He calls you to worship your Lord with thanksgiving, to as well offering your praise to Him and give thanks to your Lord and bless His name. But that's the command. We're given commands to give thanks to Him and praise Him, for He is God and He is good. But He just doesn't give the command, but He gives you the knowledge of the command and the reasons behind it, because your Lord is good. Sure, we all know Romans 8:28. We can quote that one. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. All right. A new car, Johnny. No, you may get a new car. But you might have a car with 250,000 miles on it and you're not sure it's going to go another lick. Because we like Romans 8:28. That's how we define good, with more of the S's, right? Get sex straightened out. Get the state straightened out. Give me some more knowledge with the science, or give me more stuff. That's good. But God defines good in verse 29, where He goes on to say, for those whom He foreknown, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, in order that He might be the firstborn among many brothers. And to make us good and brilliant and shine like the Lord who is the light of life, I saw a picture and an illustration one time of God makes us like diamonds. Now, if you first find a diamond in a diamond mine, you got to chip off all the other rocks and stuff around it. And then you get this crystal that doesn't look all that great. It's just a rock. Until they polish it up. But even before they polish it so it'll really shine, the jeweler has to take the diamond and chip with a hammer and chisel and make the facets, break it off so that it's pretty and it shines the light. And while you come and are adopted and made by God in His image, you are a diamond, but we're in the rough, aren't we? And to make us like Jesus Christ, God is chipping away, even with difficulties and hardships, that we'll be conformed even to our Savior who suffered for us. And God will bring suffering and difficulties in our own lives that we'll trust Him and become even like our Savior. Your Lord is good. He does good. Notice what it says next. Your Lord is steadfast. His love is steadfast and endures forever. Now, it's not always this way, but my natural, because of God's grace, I'm not always this way, but my natural reaction when I'm hurt by your words or actions. Now, if you came to me as your pastor and you said, "Pastor, I really have something to talk to you about," right? You know, or "I want to call for a meeting," and I always say, call up ahead of time, just so I can be prepared. What is this meeting about, right? I'm ready for the big bang to come, you know, some kind of criticism or something else, right? And so if you're criticizing me or have something to say to me, I'll smile when I'm with you. And I'll go, "Oh, thank you so much for letting me know that. I really so appreciate those comments." And inside I'm going, because it takes me a while. You know, I'm getting cold, distance, and I clam up. I might not want to call you back or come back to you or visit you for a while. I'm sorry. I'm made that way. This side of heaven, God has worked, because there'd be a lot of times I would just run. But God works, and I say, yep, even a broken clock was worked right twice a day. So there's some truth to what they said. Actually, usually a lot. And God works. But I might get cold towards you for a while. I hope it doesn't continue. If it does, let me know. But the Lord isn't that way. Psalm 136 is a wondrous psalm. Another psalm that tells us to give thanks. It's not just one that has that title. But Psalm 136:1 says this: "Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His steadfast love endures forever." Now, I told people at the retreat last year when I spoke that my dad used to call me Cementhead. That was for a reason. Hard to get something through here. But I think God knows that about you and me. And in Psalm 136, it doesn't just repeat that the steadfast love endures forever one time. Each of the 26 verses tells something in there about God and His love, and then it repeats for you and me, because we need to hear it again and again. Because we knew that if God knows us the way He does, He wouldn't keep loving us. If you really knew me as your pastor, you wouldn't be here. You would have fled 20 minutes ago. I'm not perfect. I struggle. I hurt. I have to run to the Lord. I'm not this bastion of perfection. And because the steadfast love of the Lord endures forever, we might go back to Him again and again and know that Christ perfectly paid for all of our sins and continues to love us, and He'll never leave or forsake you, but is ready to receive you when you repent and turn and love you as His beloved one. And then it goes on to say, much like His steadfast love endures forever, it says, "Your Lord is always faithful." In Exodus 34, when God revealed Himself to Moses, He stuffed him in the cleft of the rock because he couldn't handle all of His glory. But when God passed by, God proclaimed this about Himself to Moses and to you: "The Lord passed before him," that is Moses, "and proclaimed, 'The Lord God is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, keeping steadfast love for thousands.'" As we come to the end, and yes, this is near the end, beloved, give thanks to the Lord, for He is God. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. About 2 months ago, the second week in April, as I knew that I was going to be ending my time among you for 3.5 years as your assistant pastor, the beginning of August, I And just for your information, that's for two major reasons. One, a year and a half ago, we moved 50 minutes away to be with our daughter and son-in-law. That's just too far for us as we age and to really minister well to you, but also having two older men like Skip and I, we want to prepare for the next generation. And so, as you know, we're beginning to look for that as a congregation, a younger assistant pastor. But 2.5 months ago, at the second week of April, I was struggling because I was going to be done here and I didn't have another part-time job to go to. And yeah, I'm taking Social Security now, but that's not quite enough. And I haven't taken my retirement yet that's been saved up. And I'm thinking, is that going to be enough? And I spent a couple sleepless nights. I was hitting myself on the head, literally. I'm laying in bed, I can't sleep, and tossing and turning. And every once in a while, I go like this. Why did you make that stupid financial decision in the past? Why did you make that stupid decision in the past? I'm supposed to care for my family. I'm supposed to take care of my family. And I'm going, well, thankfully, that week on Sunday night, I was preparing Psalm 33 for the Lawrence's fellowship. And David, who was really struggling, he was under a lot of pressure. He had enemies coming from here. He had problems coming from there. He made my problem look like a walk in the park. And in the psalm, in the midst of all those difficulties, David breaks out, before he gets any answer, with praise and thanksgiving to God, because he is God and he is good. And I praise God for the privilege of being a pastor and having a week to work on a message and just being centered in it, because it took my eyes off of myself and the situation and put them back on our God. And beloved, that's what gift that God is giving you here today in this broken world, this side of heaven, where things are hard and things aren't difficult and your faith weakens and you walk by sight instead of faith. And you don't want to thank God. You want to grumble against God because he's not answering or answering in your time or what you want. Psalm 100 is precious because it brings you back to those truths that God is God and God is good. In God's mercy, some of you know, but I can't tell you until it's officially announced. I do have a part-time call at a local church, PCA church, close to us. And so I'll have a chance to continue ministering the Word of God. But let me end this morning, and this really is the end, by pointing all of you to your Lord and Savior Jesus, whom Psalm 100 points to. Because if you have faith in him, he is your God and he is good. Actually, open your Bibles and let's look there together. And we'll read just a portion of John 10 where Jesus tells us this about himself. This connects very well with Psalm 100 because it shows us how our Savior is this God. I'll be reading John 10, verses 11 to 13, and then 27 and 28. John 10, 11 to 13, and then 27 and 28. And Jesus says, to his disciples, and Jesus says to you today, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own and my own know me, just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And now verse 27, My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. Beloved, remember, come back to Psalm 100, because in this life we often get trapped. We often don't look up, but come back to Psalm 100 and remember and praise God and give Him thanks, for He is God and He is good.